Hi, and welcome to this discussion of the Advanced Higher Classical Studies topic, Heroes and Heroism. I'm Andy McKellar, I'm the Principal Assessor for the subject, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Lee Baker, and we're going to discuss the texts and some of the aspects of study, and also do some pointers towards how you might go about creating great answers for the standards that we're looking for in examinations.
Thanks, Andy. I think the first question I'm going to ask you is, could you try and summarise what is meant by heroes and heroism as a topic? Because this is words that people will know, but they might not necessarily know what it is within a classical context.
Yeah, absolutely. Heroism is something that has a very dominating role within classics in general, because the very earliest texts that really have significance are the texts all about the Trojan War. They're not the earliest texts that existed, but they're kind of the earliest ones that we really have access to because simply they're so good. So the idea of what heroes were like in the classical world and how they conducted themselves kind of passed itself on into the values that shaped the classical world from then on. And so I think it gives us a great opportunity not just to study amazing stories, but to look at the whole concept of heroism itself, because we all have to look up to heroes in our daily lives and what we admire and what we aspire to. And it's really useful to consider who we look up to, why we look up to them, and maybe question sometimes whether we look up to the right people. So I think in a classical studies context, from the historical time period, it's massively important. But from a perspective of our own lives, I think considering this whole notion of heroes and heroism and what these things mean is really vital for us.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting way to think about it. And if we take that to schools context, why would you say this thinking about what the nature of heroism is particularly useful for somebody in a school or a pupil or a student or a young person in a school?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think when you're young, your values are kind of forming, aren't they? You're finding out who you are. You're finding out what you think your role in the world is kind of going to be. You're growing into the person that you want to be, that's going to make an impact in the world in some way. And I think being able to have role models, being able to see, to think about the impact that people have upon others is really, really crucial. Political leaders, social leaders, people we read online, all sorts of people will shape the way we see the world and the way we react to the world. And these are essentially our heroes. And it's really, really important that we consider whether we're looking to the right people, to the right places, and whether we are looking to develop the right values or the values we think are most valuable in ourselves.
Brilliant. So if we think about some of the aspects of the course that we focus on and we study in some depth and we tie them into a text, am I right in thinking one of the aspects we look at is the morality of the hero? And could you maybe explain what we think about that and or what, how we should try and think about that and what texts that would apply to?
Yeah, I mean, the texts we study are all very, very heavily focused on the concepts of morality. And I think it's a fascinating area which these texts really do allow pupils to really explore. Because morality is not a fixed system. We almost have to agree amongst ourselves what we think morality is. And if you come from a particular ideology or perspective or whatever, you'll have an idea of what it means to you. But if somebody comes from a different perspective, a different ideology, or simply doesn't really have an ideology and thinks in a more sort of utilitarian way about, you know, consequences, what's good, what's bad as a result, you'll find that morality has different meanings for different people. And I think these texts really draw that to our attention, because some of the things that come across as being perceived as morally acceptable within some of these texts, we might recoil from. And it's really fascinating to consider what can be moral within one cultural context is maybe not seen as moral within another. And that's where you want to dive in, like, right, okay, why? What is the difference? Why does that happen?
It's amazing that the literature is able to force us to question our own values and the values of the ancient characters within them. It just speaks to the power of these texts that that we're looking at. Can you explain to some degree the ways in which a character or some of the characters behave in ways that we might, as you say, recoil from, or certainly maybe that's recoil is a bit extreme, but that would might force us to reevaluate what we think of heroism. I'm thinking more from the Iliad, like somebody like Achilles,
and how
he behaves.
Yeah, I mean, Achilles is a great example because he is the hero of the story. But part of the reason why we have the aspect of study anti-heroes within our course is because, yeah, he is the hero of the story quite clearly, but the ways in which he behaves are so self-centered in many ways and just lack any empathy for how his actions are really affecting others, that I think it becomes a fantastic way to study because he's a glorious hero and the people round about him who don't maybe know him in any detail, as you would imagine in this big army, they look to him and think, wow, he's amazing, what a guy to follow. But Homer brings us right up to him. We're in the tent with him. We hear what he's actually like as an individual and why he's doing the things he's doing. And I think that at times it does make me want to kind of recoil in a sense from his thought process. The fascinating thing initially about him is there's some sort of sense or logic right at the start when Agamemnon appears to have sort of broken what was an unwritten established agreement almost by taking away his prize. So that's a kind of value that was breached at the time. But then he's no longer really supporting anyone apart from himself. It's not like he's standing up for the good of the men by the fact he has noticed you did wrong to me. But then he does wrong to everybody else at every turn. So yeah, he's fascinating in that respect. And all the other characters are nicer.
Yeah.
And an amazing thing about the Iliad is that the Trojans come across as far and away the more sympathetic characters, all of them.
Which is not the way history remembers them. You know,
No. We
always think of the Greeks at Troy. Well, maybe we don't always, but it's certainly something that was always in the front of my mind. It was the Greeks.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah. I think, and even within the Greek camp, and this is maybe a way of linking into the Odyssey as a text, we see such a diverse range of hero. So we've got the brawn of Achilles that pairs up with the brain of Odysseus.
Yes, yeah, that's a really good game.
So it's something that the candidates are going to have to look at, is that changing nature of heroism that comes through not just within the Greek section, which we can talk about, but then how that then links in from the same story, the Trojan War, how that becomes a Roman value of heroism through the character of Aeneas.
Absolutely. I mean, Aeneas is, it was a colleague of mine, and I don't know whether he invented it. If he did invent it, it was fantastic, or whether he came across it. But I remember him telling me that the hero of the Aeneid is Rome itself. And Aeneas almost embodies that utter devotion to Rome and the triumph of Rome. So he puts all his heroic capabilities to the service of the ideal of Rome itself. And so he becomes almost the antithesis of Achilles in the fact that he abandons his life when he's with Dido, because he's clearly happy with Dido. And then he suddenly realizes, oh, I've got to give all this up for the sake of Rome. But at the same time, there's just that lack of humanity. He doesn't show any more empathy than Achilles does, but it's just for a different goal. And I almost feel like the thing that, when you brought up the idea that we kind of focus on the Greeks and then we maybe focus on Aeneas, because they won. I almost worry that, you know, our perceptions are shaped by the fact these guys won, rather than focusing on the tragedy that's left behind. And I think Homer actually, because he foregrounds the Trojans and makes them so much more personable and human, I think he almost wouldn't be happy with us because we only focus on the Greeks so much. I think he's drawing attention to that. And then Euripides, of course, draws attention to the enormous suffering that's been caused. It's quite a long period of history between the Homeric works all the way through to obviously Ovid right at the end. And that tracing of the heroism to more and more appreciate the importance of the individual experience, I think is fascinating, how the individual's affected by heroism.
Yeah, I mean, Trojan women is a dark, dark place.
Yes.
Isn't it? You know, I think there's not many people can come to the end of that play. I would love to see it performed. I've never seen it performed. You don't see it performed very often. And I do wonder if the, you know, given the we think about the relevance of this in the modern world, and we see the amount of conflict that's happening, if we might see more productions of it coming out throughout the world on the back of war, or maybe once these wars have reached their conclusions. Do you feel that we've got these heroes, we've got Achilles, we've got Odysseus, we've got Aeneas, they're all a bit different. You mentioned when you were talking about the Aeneid and the human aspect of these characters. I feel that's one of the core aspects of the Aeneid is the humanity of Aeneas, which I don't feel you get from the Greek heroes.
No, you're absolutely right.
He makes decisions that he's unsure about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, particularly in book one, in the storm, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He's the leader who doesn't know. And he tries to instill this part, this kind of confidence in his men. And that spoke quite loudly to me. And I think that would speak to anybody who was in a position where they had to make a decision, but they didn't really quite know if it was the right decision to make.
Yeah, that's a great sort of point. And it does contrast quite nicely with Odysseus when he's in a similar situation. I mean, Odysseus just kind of blithely lets all his men suffer various dreadful fates as he goes about his business. And he feels confident that he knows how to get himself home if he just keeps plugging along. But he doesn't have anything like the mental anguish that Aeneas suffers, because he's thinking about, you know, how on earth are we going to get through all this? And what am I going to do for my men?
I don't feel very sorry. I mean, at points I feel sorry for Odysseus, but, you know, in that bit in book five, isn't it, when he's crying on the shores of Calypso's island, you think, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, as you've been there for 7 years in this land of paradise, where Aeneas has been at sea for 7 years, or wandering about the Mediterranean with his crew, which must have been absolutely horrendous. What advice would you give to candidates in order to take what they've learned in the class and, you know, through the studying of these texts and apply that to an exam situation? What would be a takeaway piece of advice for them in order to improve the quality of their answers?
Well, it's the depth that really makes such a difference in their answers. Whatever type of question they're really tackling, the depth of their points is significant. And I think in this particular option, because it's heroes and heroism, it is about the characters to such a large degree. So they really want to kind of have a sort of wallet of notes where they've got Achilles, they've got Agamemnon, they've got Odysseus, Aeneas, and the different takes on the characters that you get through Euripides and Ovid. And they have a sort of character study in mind, and they know what to refer to when they're discussing the interaction of these different characters, so that they have, and of course you get that through knowing what they do and what they say. And it's really knowledge of what they do and what they say that will enable your thoughts to flow. It's kind of advice I would give to anyone tackling any sort of exam at this level, is try to focus on knowing the subject matter. Don't try and memorize clever sounding sentences or interpretative comments or something. It's really difficult to do that besides anything else. But, you know, trust yourself. If you can explain what a particular character does, but remember that's not all you need to do, you'll find that some thoughts do flow for you. If you've got a good sort of knowledge of the different things they do, just keep reminding yourself, right, I've got to say why that happened. Why did he do that? What did that tell us? And have that kind of checklist in your mind, and that will get you through pretty much any question you come across, looking at the themes. And also, I suppose, make sure you're looking at the aspects that we want you to focus on, so that you're primed to think, you know, how does Odysseus show morality? You know, how does his heroism differ from that of Achilles and that of Aeneas? You know, if you get somebody before, somebody after, if you maybe take it that way. Would he be a role model? How does his actions affect women? And is he genuinely fully a hero, or is he an anti-hero? Take the aspects that we've got and kind of apply them to your character studies as you're revising. And that will give you a battery of knowledge that will enable you to answer any question really strongly, I would say.
Motivation seems to be a big part, doesn't it? What motivates these characters to do what they're doing?
Absolutely.
And as you say, if you do that, Because the texts don't change.
No.
If you know the details of the text, you can take that and you can, you know, morph that information into a shape that's going to help you answer a particular question and allow you to hang evaluation off of any particular aspect within the exam.
Oh, absolutely.
Great. Oh, gosh, what's to think about there?
Well, thanks very much. That was a fascinating discussion. I really enjoyed that. So please do join us for more discussions when we'll discuss individual and community and history and historiography, and also comedy, satire and society.